I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
You know, we're grown men. We're talking about plays out there that we just want to make sure we're all 100% on and, you know what we're doing. Just a little bit off page there, and we're not yelling at each other because we hate each other. We just want to all be on the same page to help each other out to, you know, try to get the best offensive chance. And didn't work out that one opportunity, but I mean, Willie and I at Austin, we talked about it after, you know, we're just trying to make a play, and fortunately enough, it didn't happen on that one.
Well, James, it's not looking very good for the Leafs as we record this on a Sunday afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Yeah, it's interesting times. We have a lot to get into. Obviously, we haven't talked since after game two, which the Leafs won, and now they've dropped last two, and now trail 3-1, heading back to Boston, facing elimination in game five. Oh boy, there is a lot to get into. I think I would like to start by saying, James, I just don't think the series is over yet. Obviously, it's not over yet because, you know, Boston still needs to win another game. I've just seen this team do this kind of thing this year a whole bunch where they have a really bad performance and you think it's it. And then they find a way to like bounce back. Now, that's the regular season. This is different. Do you think they have any chance? Let's start here. Of them coming back in the series, or have you kind of written them off like it seems like everyone else has?
I could see them winning a game, Jonas, but I think it's going to be kind of like the Florida series last year where they go down 0-3 and then they win a game and then it's over in five. So, you know, I don't see them being able to beat Boston three games in a row. Not with Matthews not being well, Nylander hasn't played, Marner's not playing well, Tavares isn't playing well, goaltending hasn't been good, penalty kill's been terrible, power play hasn't been good. I mean, what is going well? Like, I can't. There's not very much in this series other than the one game that they won where I can point to and be like, yeah, here's some reason why it's going to get better.
I guess.
You got people. You got people yell. It feels like it's falling apart a little bit. To be honest, statistically, their odds of coming back right now, they're at 12%. Is their chance of coming back and winning the series? I think it's a lot lower than that.
I guess the only thing I would say is you win game five and suddenly that number goes up and then obviously you have to win two more. But a few of those things like you talked about, there's so much for them that's not going right and we're going to pick through all of it. If you can kind of turn one or two of those things, the series can start to turn. It's just like, what do you look at right now and think that's going to turn? Because like some of the stuff you mentioned, their power play has been bad for a month and a half. Their penalty kill has been bad all season. Their goaltending has been not great all season. It's just like you look and you're trying to find what's going to turn. I mean, the one thing that you could look at it that you think might turn is Matthews doing what he did in game two, except like he's sick. And obviously he had to leave the game the other night. Of all that stuff, what do you think is most likely to kind of turn around for them? Do you think the offense will kind of come around? Do you think their power play can find it? Is there anything within that sphere?
I think, you know, the spread out schedule with these 2-day breaks and whatever. I mean, I think you just have to hope that Matthews can get back right. Nylander can get back. I mean, you could tell early in the game four, Nylander hadn't played in a while and looked out of sorts and was falling over and
yeah.
you know, and later in the game, it looked like he started to put things together a little bit better, but I don't know, Jonas. I mean, to be honest, talking about them coming back, it seems pretty far-fetched. I mean, like, we're talking single digits chances that it happens. And I just, it's also with the way Boston's playing, like, they're very confident. They're getting great goaltending. Like, they're just, I don't know. I don't see this turning. I guess what the Leafs are just going to have to dig really deep with their season on the line, somehow pull out game five and then regroup again and head home, which is apparently home's like the house of horrors where they can't win anymore. Like, what's their record? Like 4-11 or 4-12 at home in the last 16 playoff games? It's something absolutely brutal like that.
Yeah, I struggle what to make of that, but it can't be nothing. It can't be nothing. It's just too many games. Let's start with special teams, because I think that is the, if we're going to look back at one thing from the series, if they lose, I think that's like top line. Obviously the Stars not producing enough offensively is a big thing, but that is partly to do with special teams and their power play. I think we should start with the power play. What do you think? Like, do you think they should change personnel? Do you think
yes.
So what would you do if you were Sheldon Keefe? Like, would you change both units?
I would take the players off the power play who have been bad off yeah, the top power play. I would,
who is that? Everyone?
Let's see here. Who's all right. If we just look at the results in the playoffs this year, just this year.
Well, there's one goal.
I'm looking at like some of the underlying numbers here because I don't.
Okay.
Yeah. It's tough, man. There's nothing's good on like. Let's see what optimism I can dredge up here. You seem to want to be an optimism corner for this podcast, which is a weird way to go given where they're at.
No, I just don't think, I think there's been a rush to bury them, and I think there will be time for that if they die, but
it just looks like every other year, Jonas. That's why people are burying them.
Let me be clear.
It's the same old shit. This is what we talked about. Like, why are they doing the, we talked about this last year in the offseason. It's like Groundhog Day. It's Bill Murray with the groundhog in his lap driving the truck off the cliff. Like, what, you're just going to do it over and over again, and then you wake up and you're going to do it again?
I get it. I do not
live in the same day over.
I do not blame anyone, James.
The thing, like, the fan base is checking out. Like, they're getting booed during playoff games. Like, the number of fans I hear from that hate this team and hate these players is like, it's getting worse every year.
I guess I will be prepared to do all that stuff when they are dead, because I think it will be deserved. And I do not blame the fans for being as frustrated as they are. If I had seen the same movie end the same way again and again and again and again and again, I would be annoyed too. Yeah, I get
the
it.
The fans
I
are just, taking the toaster in the bathtub. Like, how many Groundhog Day analogies do you want me to make? I can keep going.
I like the part of that movie when he bumps into, what's the guy's name on the street, and he steps in the puddle. Yeah,
Ned Ryerson.
Yeah, that's my favorite part, I think, of that movie. But to get back to the power play, so I think it's interesting to look at what Boston did. Their power play had been bad basically from the All-Star break. I think Fluto told me it was the fourth worst in the NHL after the All-Star break. So before game 81, they changed it. They just decided, you know what, we're going to put Pastrnak and Marchand on different units. And what happens? They start the playoffs and they start scoring. Is it too late to make that kind of move with the Leafs? Because I'm starting to think that's what I would do. I'd put Matthews and Nylander on one unit. I'd put Tavares on and Marner on a different unit. Try to create some different dimensions, try to create something fresh, because they do feel really stale right now. They're not dangerous at all.
Could you do, I agree with you. Tavares and Marner on the power play have been.
Tavares actually has probably had, well, for one power play anyway, had some pretty good looks, but yeah, like.
But the problem isn't the looks. The problem is that the puck dies on a stick all the time. Like,
yeah,
they get in zone and they need to use all of the players. You know, they need the movement, and then it seems like it goes to him, and it's just like, I don't know if it's he's older or like it feels like the plays are dying on his stick because he's not making a decision fast enough, and he's not making the right decision, which is a problem. So
it is a problem, yeah. Well, and it was a problem at times in the regular season. I think you're right.
It feels like a bunch of them have the yips right now, you know, like Marner included. So, I mean, it feels very desperate to change the power play around and switch to a power play they haven't even practiced or used all season. But
you know what? So I was thinking that too, but it's like the counter is like, okay, well, what you're doing clearly is not working. So you can continue to stick with it because you've had it all year, or you could just be like, you know what? We got to throw, you know what, at the fan and just try to see if we can get something working. So I played around with just like some units on paper. Like I would try like Nylander, Matthews, Yankrock, Bertuzzi, Riley, Marner, Tavares, Domi, Robertson, and McCabe or Liljegren. Like I would try to get something different.
I think I'd go Domi, Bertuzzi, Matthews, Nylander, Riley.
Sure. Yeah. Like
I don't really care what the second unit looks like. Like, you know,
I mean, part of the problem, like, you know, Marner obviously is taking a ton of heat right now. Like he just isn't a threat to shoot the puck on the power play. Riley is not a threat to shoot the puck on the power play. So like two of your five guys, they don't care about. And obviously Nylander wasn't there and Nylander comes back and Sheldon Keefe
says, they're so easy to shut down. Like Boston, yes, like right. Boston's game plan when the Leafs are on the power play is, I mean, what's the power play at 8%?
Yeah, it's 1-for-14.
I guess it's become a complete farce now. And it happens. I mean, they've had a good power play in what, one playoff series out of the last nine, something like that. Like it's, I don't know, man. I think it's good that you want to do optimism corner, because I'm not going to be Mr. Optimism today. Maybe we can keep going back and forth. Like you need your stars to score in the power play. Like there's. Like,
yes, I wrote a whole story about that. It's shocking how bad their numbers are on the power play.
There's my hot take for you. Like.
But I just wonder.
Look at the limited numbers in the playoffs so far. Jake McCabe's numbers on the power play look okay. Yeah. You know, like, I don't know. The second unit looks like, I don't know. There's not a lot to love here.
Well, what's difficult for them, because I'm thinking, like, you know what? They should have done this during the regular season, like sometime in April or March. But part of the problem for them is they didn't have everyone. Like Marner was gone. And then like, you know, Riley was gone for a bit. And obviously like, you know, you come into the playoffs and suddenly Nylander's gone. Like they've just not been able to kind of figure it out. But this has happened before. Like this is not, the problem is this is not a new thing where their power play goes into the tank in the second half and then isn't good in the playoffs. And they have no answers. Like you look back to last year's playoff, you mentioned that series that they actually perform well. They changed it right before the playoffs. They took Nylander off the number one unit and put Ryan O'Reilly in there. And as you have, you know, mentioned to me in our conversations, O'Reilly is like sneaky effective on the power play. And he brought like a different dimension that they lack. And you can even see it now with Nashville. Like he's
had an awesome season. Like you watch the Predators and it's like, you know, the Leafs were putting this guy on the third line. Like he's a legit first line talent. You know, him and Forsberg have been so good. I mean, how many goals and points did O'Reilly have this year? He had just a monster season. Like
he did. Yeah. I would not have thought that he had that because it looked like it was going down, right? Like it looked like
he's slow. Like that's just what he is. And yeah, you watch him in Toronto, but he's just, I don't know. It's just, he's able to play around that 26 goals, 69 points. But I mean, he's a great player, you know, 33 years old and, you know, he's the same age as Tavares, right? Basically, yeah. Like yeah, 6 months younger.
I'd rather
have O'Reilly right now than Tavares, I'll tell you that.
Well, and obviously the difference in what they make is substantial, but the power play wouldn't be such a, well, it would be a thing, but it wouldn't be such a big thing if their penalty kill was not so terrible. Their power play or the penalty kill in this series, James, is at 53.9%.
No, that's improved. It was at 50% going into the last game. So they're making some progress now. Now they're cooking.
I mean,
and they're taking the dumbest penalties.
Yes.
They're leaving. like the goal they get in game four, Marchand is just like wide open. Samsonov isn't anywhere close to making that save. It's the same thing that's happening when it's the opposite. You know, the game plan that the Bruins are playing on their power play is just picking apart the Leafs. I mean, the special teams have been embarrassing in this series for Toronto, like just terrible. And I think it's on the star players and it's on the coaching staff too, because as a coaching staff, you got to adapt if your special teams aren't working.
Well, and yeah,
I think they're afraid to take the big guys off the units, right? Like I think they're,
Well, I think you're referring to Marner, and I think you're referring to Tavares, right? Like, and we saw Tavares, they took Tavares off their number one unit at one point during the season, right? Remember that? Like, that was maybe now you have to go back to that and just say, fuck it, basically. Sorry, now the episode will be explicit.
Well, but I already swore earlier, so.
Nice. It's nice. You beat me to it. But the penalty kill stuff, like, again, like, when they had better personnel, their penalty kill was not this. I just don't know. Like TJ Brody literally doesn't play the first three games of the series, and he comes in and he's on their number one penalty killing unit. Well, you know what I mean? Like, that just kind of tells you where they're at. And they're using Pontus Holmberg, like, on their second group. Like, he's basically a rookie. Connor Dewar was their forward acquisition at the trade deadline. He didn't play in game four. He has a minimal impact. Like, we're going to go over all this stuff if they end up losing the series about some of the poor decisions that they made in constructing this roster, but that is a part of it. And it's,
I mean, just go back and listen to our episodes. Like,
yeah,
I mean, people were getting so frustrated hearing us say the same thing over and over again, but I don't know what we're supposed to say. They didn't want to change anything substantial in the off season. They kept the whole core. They kept the coach.
I mean,
again, it's Bill Murray, you know, pick whichever version of his death you want, and just doing it over and over again. Like, I did.
Well, and James, you know,
it's been 8 years without changing. I mean, like, we were talking about potentially changing the core after the Montreal series, which is 3 years ago.
Yes.
That's 2021. Embarrassing.
I remember that.
2022, we talked about it. Last year, we talked about it. This is, what are we going to do it again?
Well, I mean, the issue this year is, and like, I wrote this and we talked about this after the trade deadline, the issues with their team were very, very, very clear, and they didn't address them. Like, we talked about, they needed some help on the penalty kill. They needed better defensemen. They needed, you know,
although Jonas, I mean, honestly, like, you watch them in this series and it's like, yeah, it's probably good they didn't trade for anything at the deadline. Cause they, like, even if they, like, if they had added, if they had added Noah Hanifin, like, do you think they would be winning this series?
I don't know. I can't say that. I mean, like, we can talk about
Players haven't done anything. Like, even
there's a trickle down effect. Like, who knows what happens if they had different players? Like, if they had a different, we talked about the issue that they had at center. If they had a third line center who could actually handle some of the more difficult matchups, then you wouldn't be forced to use John Tavares and Mitch Marner in that role. And then maybe those guys are producing more. Like, a lot of this is like, I know, like, those guys are taking heat and deservedly so, but some of this is like the way that they're being used, because the roster is so limited. Yeah, right.
The team got worse. Like, I don't know how anyone can dispute that the roster is worse than it was, I would say, probably the last two seasons, maybe even the last three seasons. I mean, the record was worse this year than it was the previous three seasons.
Right.
And this isn't about one GM over another or whatever. It's just like, on paper, they don't have as much depth. My phone's been blowing up since they lost that game. And, you know, I heard from someone who's, you know, a coach with another team, is how I'll put it. And they said, like, their issues have been compounded this year because they don't have as much depth, and it puts even more pressure on the star players. And if the star players don't deliver, it's going to be even worse.
Yep. Well,
let me see if I can find the text that I was getting.
But let's focus on the series. It's still not over. We can do all that stuff after.
I don't know, man.
It's not like we will do all that stuff if they lose the series. Like, but one of the more confounding things, and like, it's not super confounding just because of the team that they're playing, is offensively they're just not generating anything. And obviously their power play not being dangerous at all, and actually being a liability is part of that. But like, James, they can't get inside on Boston. Like, they can't get anything going. And it's
so looking at even strength, like scoring chance generation in this
they're
series.
Winning.
Yeah, what I was going to, like, they're the Leafs, if you look at expected goals, the Leafs leaders are Morgan Riley, Austin Matthews, Max Domi, Tyler Bertuzzi, and Labushkin. But when that group of five is,
he's playing with Riley. Right? Yes, of course.
When that group's not out there, they're generating nothing at even strength.
Yes. Nothing.
Nothing. Yeah. There's nothing.
But again, like, it makes sense. It makes sense. Look at their lines. Like, they're using Tavares in a matchup role, so that line is getting canceled out. Their third line with Holmberg and Robertson and whoever and Yarncroc, they're not dangerous at all offensively, and why would they? Look at the personnel. And then their fourth line is like, why would you expect their fourth line to generate any offense? Like, it's not really that hard to figure out. They're a one-line team with the way that they've constructed their lineup and with some of the moves that they made. And what's interesting, James, is like, we go back to last offseason, like you were touching on, and they're like, you know what, we got to make sure we get some more help for the Stars and as far as offenses goes. And they bring in Bertuzzi and they bring in Domi, and obviously they bring in Ryan Reeves, who I learned last night and looking at the numbers has gone 69 straight playoff games without a goal, which is not surprising just given his skill set, but
he had a good assist in game four.
Right. And it's like, it just shouldn't be that surprising when their team is built this way. They're so dependent on Matthews to score, and they were so dependent on Matthews to score in the second half. And I remember, I think we did an episode and like they were winning and like, there was a lot of looking at us and being like, well, were you guys wrong? And it's like, well, let's see how this works in the playoffs. And it's kind of bearing out. I mean, not having Nylander to start the series obviously is hugely detrimental when you're so top heavy. But then you have to use Marner and Tavares this way, and their power play is bad. And I don't know, like, do you think there's a way that they can construct their lineup where they can get more offensively? Well, like, would you do what I suggested? And maybe you put Max Domi back as a third line center and you try to actually create a third line that can potentially score? I don't know.
Simon Benoit is eighth on the team in expected goals per minute at even strength. Like,
I mean, that pair, they've done their job. That pair has done their job.
That pair's been fine. Yeah. But with that point is everyone else other than below that is like there's just no offense at all.
Well,
which shouldn't be surprising. Tavares is at 1.3 expected goals per 60 minutes at even strength. 1.3.
He's getting buried, James. Like, he is an offensive zone faceoff percentage of 35% in this year.
But if you have two $11 million players on a line together, like, it shouldn't matter.
Still
be able to. I know he's not 11. He's not $11 million dollar player. Yeah.
Exactly. He has no 5-on-5 points in the series. And like, I mean, one guy, like you mentioned, you know, Benoit, their defense just gives them zero offensively. And obviously Riley is the only one you would expect. And it hasn't gone the way for him like it did last year. And I think part of that obviously is what Boston is doing, but he's not generating offense.
If you're Boston, if you shut Riley down, like, I mean, it's hard for them. Part of what's happening, I think, for them offensively is they're not able to generate a good breakout. They're not able to get through the neutral zone clean. This happened last year in the playoffs. It was a problem against Tampa and against Florida. Yeah. And then they're having a hard time getting into the zone with any speed or momentum. Like, they're having to back up and come back. And like, Montgomery on the Boston side is doing a marvelous job.
So I want to tell you, actually, let's take a break, and then I want to talk a little bit about Montgomery, and we can talk about Keith, and we'll talk about did we talk about the penalty kill? Yeah, we talked about the penalty kill. We'll talk about the goaltending. We'll talk about some of the splintering that appears to be happening, which I don't know.
We got to talk about that.
Super surprising. But anyway, we will take a break and get into all that.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
All right, James, I never actually discussed this with you. When I was in Boston before game one, I went to Bruins practice, and it was like a different experience watching Jim Montgomery at practice. I don't know that I've ever heard a coach talk that much in a practice. He stopped every single drill. I'm not even exaggerating, and tried to make sure that every single player knew exactly what he wanted. It was crazy. At one point, you know, he was getting a little frustrated. He said, like, do you want to win this series? And this is before game one. And I was like, wow, like, this is really different. I've never seen someone like this vocal during a practice. Because like,
do you get a sense of what he was trying to get them to do? Like, there's something very specifically.
They
obviously tailored their game plan entirely to shut the Leafs down, and it's working brilliantly.
Yes, the Leafs can't get inside and on them at all. And like you mentioned, the neutral zone, like you saw as that game four rolled along, like they just started turning pucks over. They were getting frustrated.
But you can't. Yeah. In the modern NHL, there's been all this focus on building a defense that, you know, Vegas has a bunch of tall guys and they won the cup. And, you know, like it's not about being big. You got to be able to move the puck. Like it's great to be big. It's great to be able to shut teams down and take away space in the defensive zone. Don't get me wrong. It's great to be able to clear the front of the net, but your offensive game is going to really suffer if you can't move the puck.
Yeah. Well, and they got a bunch of guys who aren't great puck movers. I mean, they are still relatively big, you know, like Matt Grizzlick, like is basically out of their lineup and he was like a staple during the regular season. He's small, but yeah, like, I mean, what did you make of the decision to take out Liljegren for game four and put Brody back in? Like, I would have done it sooner or done something else, but
Liljegren is dead last on the team in terms of all the underlying numbers. Like it's just brutal. Like they were getting fed with him out there. So, and Edmondson away from Liljegren looks a lot better. So, and I mean, just to the eye test, like we talked about it, that the winning goal in game three is in part on Liljegren with he falls down behind the net when he's supposed to have the puck and clear the puck. And then it's a scramble and they score.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing I would say is like what you're talking about with Edmondson is very apparent. Like it's a struggle. I mean, you saw it with Brody at times in game four to move the puck. The numbers for that pair were really bad. So it was not surprising that they would make that change. But I mean, is there more? I mean, you look at the coaching staff for the Leafs and it's like, well, penalty kill has been bad all year. Power play, they've not found an answer. Offensively, I mean, this was something that I remember so clearly after that Florida series where Kyle Dubas comes out in that press conference and says, like, maybe we have to, I'm paraphrasing, change our tactics in the playoffs to generate more offense because this has been a problem for a while now. And that's what's like alarming is a lot of this, like you said, it's Groundhog Day.
I don't think they fixed it.
Right. They did not fix it.
They heard Kyle say that and they were like, all right, we don't need this guy. We want to keep doing what we're doing.
Yeah. You know what? Let's get into.
I'm kidding. Just so no one takes me out of context. I'm just joking.
Before we get to the goaltending, let's talk about what Sportsnet was able to capture on the bench. And like we're sitting in the press box, we can't see that stuff. So good on them for being able to spot that and get it on the air. And I don't think it's that surprising to see that. Like
everyone's reading lips, but this hasn't happened before though, right? Like in all the other
that we've seen, right? Like
collapses
We don't know. Like, we don't see this stuff.
But it's almost like they've kind of just, like, been sad and, like, not haven't gone at each other. And I've never seen Nylander talk to a teammate like that before, ever.
No. I mean, do you buy Sheldon Keefe after today's availability on Sunday?
No.
You don't buy that it's a good thing?
No. It's not a good thing. Do you think it's a good thing? Sheldon Keefe, I'm sure there was major damage control happening. They're thinking, what are we going to say to the media? You know, like, is the GM going to talk to the media?
I don't think this is as unusual as it seems. I think we don't see it a lot, but I don't think that this is unusual.
It's unusual for these guys and for this team.
Yeah, but maybe, you know what? Like, that's why I don't necessarily know that he's wrong in saying, you know, maybe it's a good thing.
Well, do you think it's going to bring them together or tear them apart? I mean, I think it's more likely that they're going to be not on the same page as a result of that.
I don't know. Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's the worst thing for people to be frustrated and to let that frustration out rather than keep it in and not show anything. Like, you can't have it both ways. You can't be mad at these guys for not showing any emotion and not looking like they care or saying that and then being mad when they show emotion. Like, I obviously did not see exactly
the emotion people want to see is like to drive the net through some Bruins and shove the puck in the net. That's the emotion people want to see. They don't want to see them having hissy fits on the bench.
But so the counter to that is that's not who they are. That's not how they play. That's not how Mitch Marner scores. That's not how I guess William Nylander does a bit, but you're wanting them to be something that they're not. Like, I mean, I think what you could say is like you would want to see more urgency. And that's what in that game, like a lot of those other games in the past, didn't it? Right. Where you're thinking, man, they're going to come out like hot. Like you look at like Tampa the other day in the series against Florida, like you expect a team to kind of come out full of rage. And like you look in the third period when they're down 3-0 and then it comes and it's like, well, where was that? Like that's what's puzzling. And that's where totally something, everyone has.
There's something seriously wrong. Like to be down 2-1 in a series, you're at home, you're in the playoffs, your life's on the line. If you go down 3-1 to a team like this, you're probably losing the series and to play the way they did. And we've seen it. We saw it in Montreal against Montreal game 7. We saw it against Florida last year, game 3. There are these games that they need to win and there's no, I don't know, man. Like it sounds so cliche, but it's almost like heart or something that like is not there. I think that like, that's what people want to see emotion, but they want to see them like, that's why, I mean, people have been sharing like the videos of Doug Gilmour and the way he played in the playoffs. And like, they want to see someone who just leaves it all on the ice and just will do whatever it takes to win.
Well, let me ask you this. How much, if any of that, do you put on the coaching staff? I mean, like this is 5 postseasons now for Keefe. Like how much of that is on him and how much of that is just like, those are their personalities. Like maybe that's,
I guess the thing I would ask is like, what should Keefe do? Like what, how does he bring?
I don't know. Like his job is, part of his job is to motivate, right? Like that is
no. But I'm like, if you,
I don't know.
Let's say if you're the coach and I'm the assistant coach, what do we do? Like if they're playing like that and they're not playing well in the first, like what?
I mean, it's a good question. Like, do you bench someone? Does that work in a playoff game? Is that counterproductive to bench one of your offensive players in a playoff game? Like, what do you do? I mean, do you scream and yell at that guys? Like we saw him do more of that stuff this season than at any point.
Mm-hmm.
It's different in the playoffs. Like, I don't know that you can, I guess you could do that stuff in the playoffs, right? Maybe try to get the attention of your team in the middle of a game. But I mean, he was trying everything as far as like playing with combinations, putting guys in different spots. I mean, I think that video comes after one of the shifts where Matthews, Nylander, and Marner get a shift together, which is one of the things he was trying. Like, he was just, I don't know, like, if it's happening again and again and again, it's the same people and the same thing is happening. Is it a problem with the people? Is it a problem with the people in charge? Probably. I mean, both.
The whole thing just feels played out, Jonas, is what it feels like. It feels like people are going through the motions and there's something that's, I don't know if it's like psychological damage from all of the ways it's gone wrong in the past, or if the group just doesn't have it as a collective group. This is the danger with keeping them together. Again, I'm sorry to go back and repeat myself again, but that's the danger.
Did we say that in the other postseasons? Yeah, I think we did.
Well, it just, they had to, I mean, I why didn't they change the coach?
Well, I mean, they gave the coach an extension. They didn't just not.
Why? And I actually think Sheldon Keefe's a good coach and I've defended him on this show in the past, but
I do too, but at a certain point,
it's the easiest thing to change. Like they should have just brought in someone with different stylistically, at least like you got, because if you end up in this situation and it's the same people saying the same things to the same other people and it's not working.
Well, I mean, there are some differences, right? Like their staff has changed. Guy Boucher is running the power play. That has not worked.
I think it's changed for the worse though, right?
Like Mike Van Ryan is running the defense. I think the defense has been fine for what it is, like the personnel.
I haven't dug too deeply into it, but Blues fans don't seem to think Mike Van Ryan was doing a good job with their blue line for what it's worth.
Okay. I mean, they did win the cup, but yeah, fair. Goaltending. Do you think it's like automatic now that Joseph Woll starts game 5?
I would say it's like 95% chance that, I mean, you just, that's one of the things that, and I thought actually he was fine when he came in and I don't think Samsonov's been that bad, but he also hasn't been good. He's been kind of probably what he is, right? Like,
well,
I was thinking about this today, like, can you go hard at them for not addressing the goaltending situation more than they did?
Yeah,
I think it made sense to start the season with Samsonov and Woll as your two, but I think probably when Samsonov fell apart, they probably needed to do something. And part of the issue is that they had so many other needs too, right? Like they had needs at center that they were looking at, and needs on the blue line. And I think with goal, they were just like, let's cross our fingers and hope something works here.
But the problem is they didn't address anything else. Like this, that's what, if not I was really a fan, I would be so frustrated. It's like there were these issues and none of them were addressed. Like we talked about, they need a top four defenseman. It's like, well, they get Labushkin, who's like not really a top four defenseman. He's going to play on the top pair, but he's going to play like 13 minutes. And then they go get Edmondson when they needed a right shot and they needed someone better. And like, it's like, well, this is the same thing. They needed a center. I mean, their third line center, you think about this, James, last year in the playoffs, you mentioned was O'Reilly. You go from O'Reilly to Pontus Holmberg. Like you can't find a bigger gap than that. But to get back to the goaltending, these are Samsonov's playoff numbers year by year. 899, 912, 898, 883. And like to your point, like he's not been terrible in the series, although like there's that one goal in game three where it's like that is the goal that they have had too many times in the playoffs. Yeah. That and they're getting killed. They're getting killed.
Brutal. I don't know. He must have been distracted by what was going on up the ice, right? I haven't looked at like the goal saved above expected or whatever for the playoffs. Like what did it? Did
I can pull it up right now.
I'm looking now. You keep talking here.
Well,
I mean, he's Samsonov. Yeah, he's near the bottom. I mean, like the goalies below him are, you know, Stuart Skinner and Georgiev, and you know he's not the worst goalie in the playoffs right now, but he's pretty far down the list.
I'm looking at
guess who's number one in the league.
I would think it would be Jeremy Swayman.
It's Jeremy by a lot.
Yeah,
they're making him look pretty good. He looks like Korpisalo did in 2020 and Carey Price looked in 21 and
maybe
not Vasilevsky last year, but was it Bobrovsky last year? You know, that's Swayman. There's a theme here. The goalies look really good.
Well, and that's the thing. Like you can't lose the goalie battle every night. You can't lose the special teams battle every night. And like, you can't lose all these different things.
Jonas, they've lost everything. What, like, let's go to positive corner. What's positive about what the Leafs have done in this series?
I mean, they've done a very good job for the most part against Pasternak and that line. That's a positive. I don't know that I could find anything else.
Marchand has ran around and chanced them. And like, it's just, you know, I had Marchand in the fantasy pool this year. So I watched him quite a bit and it's like, okay, I can see he's slowed down and he's aging. I mean, what did he have? 60 points this year?
Yeah.
But this series is like what a,
well, and you know what? Like, if you want
to performance,
talk about like what Sheldon Keefe can do, and like maybe there's nothing else he can do. I don't know what was said. Like, obviously, I'm not in the room with them, but they've done a poor job in handling Marchand. Like, they have played into his hand, and even Keefe after game three, you know, mentioning all the stuff that he gets away with. Like, you're just feeding into the beast. Like, he loves that stuff. He loves to be the villain. He loves to be like getting in your head.
Did you see? Didn't he score the goal in game three? And he's like, "This is over in five." Did you see him say that to the bench?
Yeah. Yeah,
and he might be right.
Well, and like every time, like
the antithesis to what the Leafs have in their group right now, like just the swagger and the backing it up, and
well, and if I was
the right side of dirt. I mean, this is a Leafs podcast, so no one's going to want to listen to us praise Marchand. But like, look how well he's played.
Yes, yeah, he's like he has 3 goals, 8 points. He's
isn't he second in the league in scoring right now, and he's 35 years old. Like.
If I was on their team, whether I was a player or coach or executive, I would have told everyone, like I wrote about this before the series started, that would be something that scares me, that he is going to goad them into stuff and he has goaded them in. And if I was on that team, I would tell the players, do not engage with him no matter what. He wants that. Like once he gets you slashing him or cross-checking him back, he's got you. Like he's in your head. He's distracting you from playing the game. Like look at Tyler Bertuzzi in this series, Max Domi in this series. Like they have been distracted by Marchand. Like he's gotten their heads, and like that's a part of what you're talking about. Like that's composure. That's like not getting dragged into some of the stuff. And you know that they've taken bad penalties, and their penalty kill can't kill penalties. Like it's a big problem. So, to get back to the goaltending. So, do you think like Wall has it in him to like, I don't know.
Well, he had some good games in the playoffs last year. How many games did he play in the playoffs last year? I can't remember off the top of my head. Four?
It's not many. It's like two in relief, or one in relief.
I think the thing you want is that he's just
fine.
Going to be calm and composed, and maybe he gives up two. It's not like the Leafs are giving up like a whole bunch. They're not getting barraged.
No.
I mean, maybe I guess on the penalty kill they are like that. Well, even and James, it's not like they're getting crushed in terms of hemmed in their zone and like grade A chances. And Boston's just getting enough, and the Leafs aren't generating anything.
Yeah. Well, and when they do screw up, they're screwing up in a really big way. Like Ryan Reeves, like he's just too slow to that puck, and then like it's in the back of the net, and it's
I wonder, do you think they might sit Reeves?
I would sit Reeves.
Yeah.
You can't be telling us on one hand, like we are keeping Nick Robertson in because we need goals, and then also be keeping in someone who will never, ever score. Like the problem is they don't have anyone else who's like potentially going to give them some offense. Like the loss of, we haven't talked about it much at all. Not having Bobby McMahon, like who would have thought this at the beginning of the season, but not having Bobby McMahon is like really detrimental to them because like that was one more guy.
That's crazy though. Isn't that?
Yes.
That's
just, yeah, it is.
That's crazy sure. to say that that's the reason that it's
not the apart. Reason, but it's like one of the reasons. It's like, that's one more guy who could score. Ultimately, like let's take a break and then let's kind of wrap and close and look ahead a little bit more, but they're not going to win unless their star players are awesome, and their star players haven't been awesome. So,
I mean, we said that, I mean, that's been
every year. Groundhog
that's day. What this team is. This team is their star players. Yes. It's a huge percentage of what they do. It's so funny. Like, look at all the conversation around Matthews and the season he has, and then the Hart Trophy and everything, and all the goals and
deserved.
I know, but it's just like, it feels like the switch flips, and I know he's been sick and everything, and he had a great game in game number two. I mean, he put them on his back and won them the game, but
it is, you know what it is a little reminiscent of? I don't know. I know you don't follow the NBA that closely, but Joel Embiid, it's similar to that. He plays for the Sixers, and he has been one of the best players in the NBA for a long time.
Well, the Raptors in the run were against, they played against him, right?
Like, yep, and they beat him. And every year,
ran all over him. Yeah.
And every year in the playoffs, like for whatever reason, sometimes it's an injury. Sometimes it's like they play a better team. Like they don't win in the playoffs every year. And they're in a series right now against the Knicks that they might lose. They're down. I mean, actually, they're playing right now. And check the score. Anyway, let's take a break and we will have some closing thoughts. And I don't know. Do you want to try for some positivity, James? Actually, the Sixers lost today, so they're down 3-1. Let's take a break. Okay, James, you have something to say. Say it. Just make your peace. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I don't think anyone listening to the show is in the mood for any positivity right now. Like,
so we just record today and then just take everything we say and then play that on the episode after they lose? The series is not over yet. Like, until the series is over, like, I'm not... You can go ahead. Say your piece.
What percentage chance would you give them of winning this series right now?
I mean, they just have to win game five, and then whatever percentage...
What percentage chance would you give them of winning game five? In Boston, with the way they're playing right now, with Matthews sick and...
40%? 35%? I mean, literally, Boston was in this situation last year and lost. So, like... I don't think it's impossible. I've seen this team many times where it's like, they're out. And then does that mean they can win a series? I do not know. I've not been high on this team the entire season. No one has been more critical of a lot of the decisions that they've made for reasons like this than me, like literally. But I've seen they have star players who can make a difference in games like this. They haven't done it in the series with the exception of Matthews in game two. Do I think it's impossible that Nylander scores two goals and they win game five? No, like I would not be surprised in the least if they won game five. Can they win two more games after that? I don't know.
That's what they need. They need their stars to come through in game five and then get a little bit of belief in them. And then, I don't know. It's just...
I mean, to your point, they have not shown much in this series to suggest that's in there. Like, their power play has looked... I mean, they had some chances, like, early in the series on their power play, and they don't convert. Like, you don't get credit for chances on the power play in the playoffs. Like, it doesn't matter. You have to score. And year after year after year after year, like, their power play is bad in the playoffs with the exception of that one series. Can that change in a game? Sure. Like, could that change in game five where they start to get some mojo going? Maybe they will do something different. I mean, that's one of the interesting like little subplots of the series. Like we have been critical, I think, or at least I have, of Keith overcoaching in the playoffs at times. And this year they've done less of that and it hasn't worked either. So yeah. I don't know, maybe now it's time to like go crazy and.
Yeah. I think they should probably just switch a bunch of stuff up and.
Yeah. I think they need to find a way, James, like to, I wrote about this. So like, it's in my mind, like make the rest of their lineup, like as dangerous as it could be. The problem is like they risk giving up more, but you're not scoring. Like you're not going to beat Boston trying to play their game, right? Like they're going to out defense you all the time. That was kind of one of the points you made coming into the series. Like they have to find a way to outscore Boston, right?
Because Boston doesn't have a lot of offense down the lineup. Like they don't have a lot going on. And I mean, you look at their third and fourth line and
yeah,
those lines have been better than Toronto's.
Well,
you know, in game one, they get the goal from the Beecher kid. Like, you know, there's, yeah. JVR finds a way to get a goal against the fourth line in game four, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he didn't even play to start the series, but yeah. I don't think this spread thing works. I never this year, at least, haven't liked it. I mean, would you play Nylander with Tavares? Would you play Marner with Tavares? Would you play Nylander with Matthews, Marner with Matthews?
It feels like rearranging deck chairs. I mean, maybe something changes. I mean, I guess you just, I don't know. When they looked their best, it was over the last 2 months of the season, right? When they were playing Domi with Matthews and they had it spread out a little bit. But
the problem with that is like just only that line really looked good. The other lines did not work at all.
So you put Marner with Matthews.
That's what I would do.
And Domi, I guess, or Bertuzzi.
Yeah.
And then they're just, I mean, we've seen that combination fail in these situations so many times, I think, is part of the problem.
Yeah. I mean, maybe what you could do is keep Domi and Bertuzzi with Matthews and, you know, just say fuck it and go Tavares, Nylander, and Marner and hope that they can score. But like part of the problem is like usage. Like if you're going to do that, you need another line to be able to line up for all the defensive zone draws that Tavares has taken. And it's like, well, who do you want to do that? Well,
that's the thing though, Jonas, if you move Marner up with Matthews, all of a sudden you can't use that Tavares line as a shutdown defensive line.
Well, but so like you're going to Boston, you don't have the matchups anyway, you know? So like, you're going to have to decide, do we want to just take David Kampf and start him on every defensive zone draw and just say, you know what? We're going to stuff Tavares and Matthews in the offensive zone and hope that they can score and hope that Kampf or whoever can bail us out. They're just not constructed in a way that's going
to
work.
Kampf line played well in the first two games. I mean, if you listen to our last show, we talked about that. Like Dewar and Kampf, it seemed like they had something going.
Yeah. And then they didn't.
Now they do not. Yeah.
Yeah. So you, I mean, like you're right. Like the series looks like it's over. We'll see. We will have time, plenty of time to construct what happens and break down why it happened and everything like that. If they lose this game, fans, I get it. Like I think fans have every right to be angry, frustrated, annoyed, giving up hope. Let's see if like they have any life in them yet. That's all I have to say.
I suspect we're going to be doing a bunch of postmortems next week about what comes next. You know, and oh, so if people were looking for that on this show, it's coming. You know, we're ready. We've talked about it a lot off the air about what do we write when it's over and what do we say and like what are the angles and like there's, you know, and you know, looking at social media, people are like, oh, the coach has got to go. I mean, there's going to be, if they lose in five games, there's going to be a lot more than the coach that goes here. Like this is, and I know people are tired of hearing that because they've heard that previous years and it didn't happen. There's just no way that they don't dynamite more of what's going on here if it ends like this. So we've said this in the past that this is the last stand for this group.
Yeah, I'm done saying
several that. Times. Yeah, why? I mean,
see, because like I just have seen too many times where they're like, when I mean, literally last summer.
Yeah,
I remember writing like I think it was shortly after Tree Living was hired, where it's like, are they really running it back again? And they're like, yep, we're gonna run it back again. So like, I've seen too much shit to guess anything. But yeah, I would suspect it's different. But who knows? It would be very on brand for them to just be like, you know what, we're gonna give it one more try.
I get. I mean,
we'll talk about that if. Yeah, everything plays out as you and most seem to think it will.
I give them like a 4% chance of coming back in this series. Like they're down to.
What if they win game five? What does that go up to for you? 10%?
I think it's probably, yeah.
Higher?
Yeah. Maybe a little bit higher, yeah.
I guess what you would be hoping for is like you win game five and suddenly Boston starts thinking back to last year and starts getting a little edgy. And like they're not the same team as they were last year. Obviously, they're missing two big pieces in Krejci and Bergeron. So maybe like they start getting a little panicky.
Leafs need to show the offensive talent gap that was there during the regular season is here. They need to find a way to break through what the landmines that the Bruins are putting in. But I think the book is out on the Leafs. I mean, Florida did it to them last year. Teams know how to play against them, you know, and part of it is just this Leafs team cannot figure out how to play. People call it playoff hockey, but you can't just add a bunch of tough guys on the back end and up front and you're going to be able to, you know, having more snot or truculence or whatever. Like they need smarter players who can navigate and make the right play when the other team's trying to shut them down. That's what they don't have right now.
Yeah. Or who can find like another level of will or whatever you want to call it to kind of push through some of that stuff because they haven't found it.
With Marchand, it's like, it's almost like, it's not just like the bullshit after the whistle, like antics and the, all that kind of stuff. Like he's in the right places all the time. Like he's wide open all the time. He's getting great looks. So it's, and part of that is that the Leafs defensive zone coverage is nowhere near as good as Boston's.
Yeah. And obviously, I mean, their chances of winning game five will be basically, well, not nil, but very low. If Auston Matthews can't play, can I read you Sheldon Keefe's quote on him?
I think he's going to play. No,
I would think so, but I mean, he was just pulled out of their last game. I would think he's going to play. This is Keefe on Sunday. For whatever reason, it's not one of those everyday types of illnesses that sort of come and go. This one has lingered and the effects have lingered and gotten worse when he's on the ice asserting himself. So
we don't know exactly what's going on. I imagine he's throwing up and dehydrated and I don't know. We don't have any details, but it sounds like it's some sort of a GI kind of thing from what I know. So it's weird for it to go on this long though. You know, it's been 4 or 5 days. I started hearing about this. I think I started hearing about it when I got to the rink for game three, that Matthews was not in a good place.
Well, yeah, he missed the morning skate, which was a full morning skate. So
right.
That's
but like, no one said what was going on. Right. And then it started floating out that day that it was an illness. Like the team didn't say he was sick, right?
No, they did not.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what's so strange about this series, James, is like Matthews now has been sick for two games. They didn't have Nylander for the first three games, but nobody's going to care. Like if they lose, they have trotted out excuses, I think, in the past, well, shooting percentage, Bobrovsky got hot, blah, blah, blah. Like Tavares was hurt. Nobody cares in the end. Like no one will remember that stuff and nor should they. Like every team goes through something. They win. Like, you know what I mean? Like Pittsburgh won a cup when Chris Letang didn't play, you know, Steven Stamkos barely played during one of those playoff or cup runs. Like
It happens. Those are good examples. Yeah.
You know, like you can't have,
there have been teams where their starting goalie plays terribly and they have someone else step up and they find a way to get it done and they win.
I mean, Vegas last year, right? Like Aiden Hill was not their starting goalie.
Cam Ward and Chicago, I think, came into one of those years and Antti Niemi was the backup and ended up winning for them. And like there's examples throughout NHL history where teams find a way to get it done without key personnel. And yeah, I'm surprised that there's still people on social media and fans that are defending them and saying, oh, you know, Mitch Marner's got the high ankle sprain and Nylander's been out and, you know, and I guess that's, if you're a fan,
yeah.
But it's just like to make excuses for like, it's been 8 years. He'd been 8 years with this group.
That stuff is not untrue, but it's like you could go to every team and find something. Like, you know, Sam Bennett missed a game the other day for Florida. Like we could pick through every team and find reasons why they could have lost and didn't. Like you have to find a way. Like that's sports. So we will see what happens in game five and we will be back after that, maybe many times depending on what happens. So James, let's see what happens. It's going to be interesting. That's for sure, regardless of how it goes down.
Sounds good.
Thank you to everyone for listening. Thank you to Punch, our producer. And that's it. We'll be back next week.